It's a very special day in the Chinese Christian Church. Papa. August 8th. What does that mean to you guys? It's Father's Day. In the United States, I'm sure most of the kids. Here in the United States, we celebrate Father's Day the third Sunday of June, I believe. But in China, and I'm sure the older generation is more familiar with this, we celebrated August the 8th. The scriptures that you heard read tell a story. It's a beautiful story. It was a little difficult to put together using so many different verses of scripture. But it tells a beautiful story of how you go from an earthly father's guidance and direction, an earthly father that shapes your destiny, that gives you instructions, that gives you guidance in all that you do from the time you go to bed from the time you get up until the time you go to bed. You have this parent. Maybe it's your mom. But they're watching over your every move. And you often look at them and say, wow, I wish you would back off. You know, you get in your little group. I wish you would just back off and let me do what I want to do. And even without realizing it, you look forward to your destiny and you start trying to shape it internally within your own mind. And you start looking at things, you start focusing on things like, wow, I'll be glad when I get to be a teenager. I'll hold the whole world in my hand. I can do everything. I'll be glad when I get to a point I can drive my own car. You don't ever stop thinking, where's the car coming from? Dad and mom. So you have these milestones. A milestone is just one little incremental piece of your destiny as you're moving forward through life. So the message that I'm going to bring to you this morning deals with your parental guidance and your destiny as a kid, as a child, as those parents shape it. And then we're going to transition. Transition is to move from that to this. You're going to, let's say you're 18, 19, 21. You're going to move from that parental guidance and instruction, that parent providing for your every need, into a world of your own. So we're going to go from an earthly father shaping your destiny into a heavenly father, a mindset, more of a spiritual reliance, more of a codependence upon God to shape your destiny as you move forward. So the verse of scripture that the young gentleman read, and thank you, you did a wonderful job. These verses of scripture, and this might be a little evangelical, but it's okay. Anytime you're talking about Jesus Christ is good. Do you agree? Anytime you're sharing Him with others, it's good, no matter the context. But these verses, again, are going to lead you from that earthly parent through three primary steps. And I'm going to use three biblical characters that are found in the New Testament to bring my point out. These three characters are John, and Jesus. Everybody knows John, right? And everybody knows John. And everybody knows Jesus. But we're going to talk about him. So as we move into the as we move into the study, and let me say this, anytime you go to a Bible study, a Bible teaching, or you go to a church like this church that upholds the name of Jesus Christ, there should be a Bible. in front of the speaker. It's just a piece of media. It's a book. It's no different than the overhead. But through this book, there are some very special writings that are very special and dear to the Christian's heart. It's more than just media. It's more than just a book. It's our guide to life. So I'm going to lay my Bible over here. I'm not putting it out of the way. I'm just going to place it over here so I'll have a little more room. And we'll go back to this very special day, Father's Day. Question: how do you celebrate your earthly father's Father's Day? What do you do to show that special appreciation for your father? He's the one that gets up before you get up. He's the one that goes to work. He's the one that comes home and gives his wife a check and tells her, just go spend it. I'm going to go back next week and bring another one. That's how it works, huh? Not really. Here's some suggestions that you might follow. First of all, it allows you as a child, subject to your parental guidance, your parents' rules, it allows you to show your love and affection for what they do. This is a godly thing to do. It's not just something that's recommended by the psychologist. It's something you should do. You should show reverence, respect, affection, not just for the father, but the mom also, and to the other siblings. Here's some suggestions. When he wakes up in the morning, that's the... Some people snore. I don't ever snore. Well, here's Pop. Go in and just wake him up. Say, Dad, you know what it is? Today is Father's Day. Give him a good greeting. Tell him just right off the bat, Pop, we love you. Thank you for everything you did for me last week, the week before, and as far back as I can remember. Thank you. Another thing you could do for him, give him a gift. Give him a nice card. You might write it up like this. Pop, thank you for the allowance you gave me last week, but I think you should start looking forward to the time I need a car. Not a good thing to do. But have lunch together. Bring your father in and make a sandwich. Fix his favorite sandwich. Have lunch together. Make a family day out of it. Just enjoy the family together. Play some family games. Let him win. This builds his ego. It kind of helps you out as you go farther down the road and you might need something. So let him win. Let Dad win. Let him be first. End the day with dinner at your father's favorite restaurant. Bring him out to the restaurant. At the end of the meal, give him the bill. This is how you... I said that for a reason. This is how you show appreciation to your father. You instill within... You give him the bill. I don't have a bill here. It's only $100. $100. Okay. But it expresses to him your dependency upon his ability to provide. It expresses to him your dependency upon him for guidance, for direction, in all that you do. So here are a couple of verses of scripture that was not on the overhead. And we're going to transition here from your earthly father to your heavenly father's guidance. You're 18, 19, 20 now. You're moving away from home. My brother Casey Chin's son David went to Seattle a few years back. And I know Casey was just very concerned that kid leaving home, going out on his own. But in Galatians it tells us that as long as you're a child, as long as the heir is a child, he does not differ from a slave. In other words, you're a young child living in the house with your parents. You're a slave, if you will, to their guidance and direction. You're to be obedient to their rules, house rules. But you're still the owner of everything that parent has. Why is that? Eventually that parent will grow older, he will pass, and you will inherit their belongings. So you're, even though you're a child subject to their rule, as time passes, you're going to become that parent. You're going to inherit what was left. So this will occur, though, when the father, your parent, decides that it's time for you to move on. At that point, the guardian, your parent, will set a date, and you might say to leave for college, and he says, "Son, go with my blessings." So your earthly father starts shaping your destiny when you're very young. Parental guidance. As you grow older, you reach an age of responsibility. You become responsible for your own words, deeds, and actions, right? You become responsible for those words, deeds, and actions. So you've reached a turning point, and this for the young kid is an absolute critical turning point. You're out on your own. Go back and rely on the parental guidance to help you to make good decisions, to help you make Christ-centered decisions. And whatever you do, no matter what profession you choose, if you want to become a minister, if you want to drive, you're getting close to 16, all you want to do is drive a car, you might want to just go get a job driving a taxi. And maybe not. You might want to become a doctor. You might want to become an engineer, a missionary. Whatever you do, remember this. This is crucial in shaping your destiny. No matter what you're doing, what your occupation, always bring Jesus Christ with you. You can achieve your earthly goals. You don't have to give up everything on the face of this earth and just say, "I'm going to sit, I'm going to become a monk, I'm going to become a hermit, I'm just going to sit and worship all day, I'm not going to work, I'm not going to do." Don't do that. You can be anything you want, but just bring Jesus Christ with you. He's that internal life that's going to guide and direct you. So you can achieve your destiny by allowing Christ to follow you every footstep of the way. You're his eyes, his ears, his feet, his hands here on earth. So bring him with you. Now, I love this song that when we started out. It's just a beautiful song, "Wait Upon the Lord." Thank you. Since destiny, I'm going just to share some comments that I had written down concerning destiny. And here's where I suggest starting. A good starting point. In your home, the privacy of your own life, wherever, here's a good starting point. Just bow before God with this simple statement. "Here is my heart. Here I am. Take me and shape me into your destiny. Shape me in a way that I can conform to your will." But take that statement wherever you go. If you're in the restaurant eating, if you're in the classroom taking a test, if you're a student, if you're a parent, just take that statement with you. "You have my heart." Seal it with the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit came to us as an agent of Jesus Christ, of God the Father and Son. It's through the Holy Spirit that you communicate back. So, since destiny is inevitable, it's going to happen. You're going to live from day to day. You're going to grow into adolescence. You're going to grow into young men and women. You're going to continue to pass through life. So let's just say that destiny is inevitable. And in all truth, I can say that one day you will stand before Christ and you'll realize an eternal destiny. So it is truly inevitable. It's fate. It's going to happen. It's a sequence of events that occur in life as we go from day to day. A sequence for some of you young guys that might not understand some of these words I'm using. A sequence is just simply something that happens 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. A series of numbers in sequence. Okay? So, in your moments of decision, seek wise counsel and make Christ-centered decisions. Proverbs chapter 3, verse 5 tells it like this: trust in the Lord with all your heart and do not lean to your own understanding. We're shaping our lives to please Jesus Christ, God the Father. So lean not to your own understanding, but in all your ways, acknowledge Him. Christ-centered, godly decisions. Two parameters here, two options, two choices. Either you allow Jesus Christ to go with you into all the places you go, to help shape your life, or you give it to Satan, and Satan will do it for you. Two choices. It's either Jesus Christ or it's Satan. There are eternal consequences. We're not talking about the consequences this morning. We're talking about destiny. So let's move on. So the day-to-day path you choose will determine your eternal destiny, okay? Now, as a Christian living in a secular world, we often find ourselves entangled in difficult circumstances, circumstances that go totally beyond our control. Brings up the question, who is really controlling my destiny? Do I control it, or is it being controlled by someone else? My personal opinion is that you absolutely control your destiny. And that's especially true when you apply a scriptural, spiritual umbrella to your life. You could go out and be injured beyond your control. You could lose your life beyond your control. But your ultimate destiny, if you're carrying Jesus Christ with you, will land you squarely at the feet of Jesus Christ. You will have achieved His will for you in your life. So, if you don't make the right choices, then someone else will make them for you. So to gain a deep insight into your destiny, we're going to use some examples that were given in the Bible. Our young future minister shared these verses of Scripture with us. Three people, John, and Jesus. It was through Jesus that John and John realized their earthly and heavenly destiny. God gave John the Baptist the privilege of introducing Jesus Christ, my first John the Baptist. This was an absolute awesome responsibility. Jesus Christ, when you mention the name Jesus Christ, you're talking about the Son of God, the incarnate Son of God, not created, but the Son of God. You're talking about a God-man that introduced Christianity to a world 2,000 years ago that is still thriving even here today. You're talking about a person that was there in the beginning. So God gave John the Baptist the privilege of introducing Jesus Christ to the world. John presented Him as the Lamb of God, the one who takes away the sins of the world. God engaged John the Apostle to write about Jesus. Through the Holy Spirit, John wrote many, many, many things. The book could not contain the word and works of Christ, but John wrote about Jesus. His objective was to convince everyone that Jesus was truly the Son of God. John the Baptist was to introduce him. John the Apostle, the fourth gospel, was to write in a way that he could convince the whole world, yes, this is truly Jesus Christ. Okay? Now, he assigned the most difficult undertaking to who? To his son, Jesus Christ. Okay? It was Jesus Christ's responsibility to offer himself a sacrificial lamb so that we might have the forgiveness of sins. Okay? I'm going to go through very quickly about just one or two points on each of these men that will conform, coincide with the verses he read. John the Baptist, his forthcoming birth was announced by the angel Gabriel. He was the forerunner of Jesus Christ in both ministry and death. John the Baptist, his destiny culminated in Herod in being beheaded for the cause of Christ. Okay? John started out by introducing, I'm going to paraphrase these verses. He introduced Jesus from the beginning, before the beginning of the world, the Word, Logos. He was pre-existent in nature. John began his story not from the time that Christ appeared on earth, but from the beginning, before time began. So just remember that Jesus Christ was with God, although separate from God, begotten of God, from the very beginning. John introduced him as the Lamb of God, who would take away the sins of the world. But I skipped the key point, and we might just close on this point. John introduced Jesus as the Word in the beginning, and then he said in verse 14, "And the Word became flesh." You're under parental care. Your child growing up, you're going out into the world. You're going to become, at some point in your life you accept Christ, you're going to become something that you were not before. That's Jesus Christ was primarily Spirit before time began in heaven with the Father, with all the God is Spirit. So Christ became something he was not by coming to this earth. He became an earthly human being, God in the flesh. That's the transition that happens when you accept Christ. You become something you were not. You become more dependent upon Jesus Christ. Another point I want you to remember is this. Jesus Christ, when you speak, I'm speaking to you, I'm conveying to you my heart, my mind, the words of my heart, my mind, the things that I want you to both hear and understand. When Jesus Christ speaks, he's conveying to you the things of his heavenly Father. He's speaking to you from the mind of God. Now, as you leave home and you go out, you can address so many, many circumstances simply by going back to that parental guidance and knowing and remembering what that earthly Father spoke. Those things have been instilled in your mind. Take Jesus Christ with you and do this for me, and we're going to close. John introduced Jesus Christ to the world. I challenge you to introduce Jesus Christ to a friend. You can do that by sending a thank you card to your little classmate in school. You can do that by sending a thank you card to your colleague that helped you out in a particular set of circumstances. So I challenge you to introduce Jesus Christ to someone. There are so many ways you can do it, a card and a short note, just fine. I challenge you also, since John wrote about Jesus Christ, he gave his reason for writing in John chapter 20, verse 31, so that the whole world would know that Jesus Christ was truly the Son of God. I challenge you to write to someone. Get a Christmas card, a birthday card, that has a Bible verse on the left panel down at the bottom. It says, God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. Send a birthday card to someone. Send a get well card. Circumstances dictate that you follow some simple etiquette, rules, protocol. Acknowledge other people's need. I challenge you, Jesus Christ gave his life for each of us, so I challenge you to carry the cross of Christ. Be the eyes, the ears, the hands, the feet. Encourage someone else. So, it's just a short story on how you can shape your destiny through your parents' guidance and direction, through the guidance and direction of God the Father, Jesus Christ our Son, the example of John the Baptist, the introduction, the example of John the Apostle, the writing. You can introduce people, you can write to people, you can encourage people. Three simple things. So let's close in prayer. We're out of time. Father, we thank you so much for the privilege of just speaking your word, of sharing your word with others, of encouraging others. And Lord, as I look at this group, I see young kids, I see older parents, possibly grandparents. And I pray, Lord, that the interaction of these within their family units, within the church, will bring glory and honor to you in all that is done. And again, I thank you for the privilege of speaking to this group. I pray that you would go with them and that they'll out today, that you would continue to bless this church. And I pray especially for Johnny and his wife who stay. Move to another location, to Houston, I believe. I pray that you would go with them, that you would continue to work through them in a way that your name would be glorified, in a way that you will be exemplified in all that they do. In Christ's name, amen.